Please pray with me. Please join me in the prayer of illumination, and let us pray. Eternal God, in your wisdom, you have set before us your word. Fill us with such desire and love for your word that we draw it deeply into our spirits. Allow it to bloom in us, that we may bear fruit in the beauty of holiness. We pray through Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, the life. Amen. Our reading this morning is Psalm 1, our Old Testament reading, on page 479 of your Pew Bibles. Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or take the path that sinners tread, or sit in the seat of scoffers. But their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law they meditate day and night. They are like trees planted by the streams of water, which yield their fruit in its season, and their leaves do not wither. In all that they do, they prosper. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish.
Our second lesson comes to us from the Gospel of John, the 17th chapter, beginning in the 6th verse. This is a part of John that I find very challenging to read, because the Gospel writer is trying to express so many concepts in such a compact space. It can get very confusing. So I'm going to read this one a little more slowly, because sometimes it's hard to follow the pronouns. Jesus is praying for the disciples. Hear the word of the Lord. I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me. And they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words that you gave to me, I have given to them. And they have received them and know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I am not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine. And I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world. And I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them in your name that you have given me. I guarded them. And not one of them was lost except the one destined to be lost so that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now, I am coming to you. And I speak these things in the world so that they may have my joy made complete in themselves. I have given them your word. And the world has hated them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I am not asking you to take them out of the world, but I ask you to protect them from the evil one. They do not belong in the world, just as I do not belong in the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself so that they also may be sanctified in truth. This is the word of the Lord. Delving into the Gospel of John is akin to slowly circling the edge of a pool so opaque it is impossible to see the bottom. One dips a toe, then perhaps a foot, all the while pondering whether to take a deeper plunge. John's Gospel is dense and multi-layered. While each of the Gospels has its own perspective, the first three, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, are grouped together in what is known as the Synoptics, which literally translates seen together, Gospels. John, the fourth, stands apart. Even its beginning is unique. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And we go, From the outset, we are put on alert that this gospel is not like the others. This gospel is no oral story shared around a campfire. Commentator Gail O'Day writes, "The Gospel of John is characterized by a literary style that interweaves narrative, dialogue, and discourse to create these lengthy drama-like scenes." End quote. And we go, what? The Gospel of John interprets the life of Jesus through the framework of a very well-developed theology. O'Day goes on to note that story and theological reflection are inseparably intertwined in John's gospel, end quote, which may be one reason why reading it seems for many to be really intimidating. It feels murky, confusing. But today we're going to go ahead and dive into John's gospel, seeking insight through all those ripples and layers. And one of the high points, one of the high intersections of Jesus' story and theological introspection and interpretation and reflection is found in Jesus' teachings in the farewell discourse and this prayer. Chapters 14 through 17 is about as dense as it gets. And if you look at it, three chapters are one really, really long speech. Now, we've already been wading through some of those themes, one of them. We've talked about love. We've talked about God's love for Jesus, Jesus' love for God, Jesus sharing God's love with the disciples, all of those interactions and interplaying, and we've examined how those relationships fit together and what that means for the disciples. And today's reading places us near the end of all of that teaching and all of those admonitions to the disciples. The writer has Jesus close this section with Jesus saying a prayer for them. And the prayer that we just read is as intricate in its references to relationships as were Jesus' teachings. The I's, you's, me's, they's, them seem to swirl up, down, around, and back on themselves. And one may be tempted to throw up hands in frustration going, well, that is as clear as mud. But if we take it slow and bit by bit, what emerges is that yet again, Jesus is setting relationships in proper order with each other. God is creator, therefore all are God's. Yet God has chosen to take from all that is God's and to share with Jesus some of the people that belong to God, so that they may learn the lessons that God gave Jesus, so that those lessons may be taught and continue to be shared after Jesus is gone from the earth. In that prayer, it says, those whom you gave me. That means disciples. But the question arises, to which disciples does it refer? Only to those present with Jesus, or perhaps to the community that the gospel was first addressed? Or does it extend to those who are reading the gospel years later? Three layers, three communities. And the brilliance of John's gospel is that the writer has Jesus himself answer that very question by saying, I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word. All are included. Those first disciples were given to Jesus by God, held by Jesus, taught by him, loved by him. And now as he faced leaving them, he prayed for them. And by extension, that means he prayed for us. Jesus prayed for their protection specifically. He knew the world would reject them because they'd rejected his message. So if they had the same message, the world would reject them as well. Choosing to follow Jesus put the disciples on a new life path, one they would continue to walk even after he was gone. Jesus was going to the Father. His work was completed. The disciples would remain. And it would take time to learn and live into what it meant to remain. In Jesus' time, those who remained to follow Jesus' teachings were increasingly running into trouble with the Jewish authorities. I'm sorry, I think I misspoke. In John's time, when John wrote the gospel, their claim that Jesus was the Messiah, Son of God, was outside what was considered proper Jewish faith, and they were being thrown out of the synagogues more and more frequently. To remain in Jesus was to find oneself outside the mainstream. Those in John's community were being treated as hangers-on of a lost cause, remnants left behind by a dead teacher, the remainder of an equation that didn't add up. It would only be human to desire to come together, to seek comfort in Jesus' words and peace in community in the face of such evil. Upheaval. Who wouldn't want to retreat, to pull up the drawbridge and to seek refuge from the world? Jesus' prayer for protection would be a powerful and comforting message for a community of believers who felt they faced a hostile environment. It would only be human to want to get away and find peace and mutual support and leave the world out there. S.A.S. Thomas Trober writes, having glimpsed a vision of what is holy and good, the human spirit may hunger for a community and a way of being to avoid the clamor and conflict of the world. The history of Christianity is filled with stories of such human arrangements, monasteries, convents, reform movements, communal living, utopias, retreat centers, and small groups centered on prayer and piety, end quote. We're only human. Didn't Jesus himself retreat from time to time? However, come away a while does not mean stay away forever. Jesus' prayer is very clear. His followers may not be of the world, but they are not excused from being in the world. The lessons we as followers have learned from Jesus shape our identity, our faith, and our value. These allow us to face the slings and arrows of a world that mocks the idea that love can make any difference at all. That Jesus is the Son of God and that he will come again. Jesus returned to the Father because his work was done. But we, his followers, have not been left behind as if forgotten or expendable. We dwell as the remaining. And remaining has two definitions. One is the leftovers, but the other definition of remain is the ones who persist, the ones who endure. Through it all. And for Christians, that is to endure and carry on the message of love, hope, and forgiveness that Jesus entrusted to us. We remain to be the hands and feet of Jesus. What does that look like? What form will it take? It will be different for each person and each community of faith according to the measure of faith that God has given them. While Jesus' prayer is a prayer of comfort, it is also a charge. The reality of the world with all its hardships and struggles cannot be escaped. And the community of faith is not to be used as an escape from the world. Yes, it can be a place of rest, a place to gather strength, a place to lean into each other for mutual support. It can be a place to grow in Christ and rejoice in the blessings we have received from God, but it is not a place to stay for very long. God's love can only be known when it is shown. That is why we remain in this world, to show God's love so that others may know it too. And we praise God that Jesus continues to pray for us. And in his love and strength, we remain, maintain, and proclaim. Amen and amen.